Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Join us in our advanced class today as we talk about an interesting subject that's medical but also educational, so stay tuned. It's good to have all of you here as we begin these lessons that are going to be very kind of interesting but a little bit tough to do, so we're glad that Ruth is here. Ruth is one of our main editors. Let's welcome Ruth.
Thank you. I'm glad to be on Advanced. I think this is a very interesting article. It brings up some interesting things to think about.
Well, and I'm glad that you have a child, because then you can tell us whether you would like to have your child do this or not. It has something to do with children, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. We're talking about MRI scans and math. And we'll get into that very soon.
So Ruth is a mother, and then we have a father here today who has a baby, and I wonder whether he would like to have his baby do this. We have Campbell with us today. Hi, Campbell.
Hi, Doris.
So Campbell, you know, your baby's still kind of small.
Yep.
But did this make you think about certain things?
Yeah, there were certain parts of this article that made me think, well, maybe there's certain things I could do while she's still young that I can maybe help her with. I don't know if I would actually go so far as giving her an MRI scan, but yeah, it's interesting to think about.
Well, we did talk about MRI here, the title, MRI scan. What is an MRI scan, Ruth?
Well, MRI is an acronym for magnetic resonance imaging. And they use this medical technology to look into the body to find out if there are problems in different parts of the body. And in this case, it's a scan of the brain to see how the brain is functioning.
They used to not have very many scans, but now so many people, they have something wrong in their body, and they say, well, I'm going down for an MRI today. Mm-hmm. And it's become quite a common thing, hasn't it, in some ways?
Yeah, definitely. It's become a very common tool for doctors to diagnose problems in people's bodies.
What did we do before we had that, Ruth? We just took x-rays, didn't we?
We did x-rays. We ran different kinds of tests, which, you know, you'd get the results back and you wouldn't exactly know what they meant because you couldn't see inside the body. The nice thing about MRIs is they can look at the soft tissue that x-rays cannot.
So that's why people are using them more and more. But I didn't think that they would ever connect them with math, mathematics. That's a little strange, isn't it, Campbell?
Yeah, you're usually using MRIs to diagnose medical problems. Now we're using it to see if a child can learn. So this is an interesting connection here.
Of course, it is true that this is where the learning takes place, is in our brain.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to use some medical terms here. And those of you who are doctors and nurses and medical personnel, they're probably quite familiar to you. But for the rest of us, they might be, you know, sort of strange terms, I think.
Well, I had to remind myself that we are learning English, not anatomy or medical science, because I read the word and that's all I can do.
Right. So don't let this article frighten you if the words look a little big, because we're going to talk about the meaning and we'll read the words because we need to know them, just what they are, but we don't have to memorize them. That's a good thing, right?
That's right, yeah.
And there's some great words in this article.
Well, that's true. And, you know, they're always doing these studies about different things. So what is this study about, the MRI scans and math?
Well, today this article is talking about an MRI scan that they did on some children, and to see that their connection with the results to their ability to learn math.
So let's get into the lesson by reading it right now. And we'll take the first paragraph down through line 20.
MRI scans and math. Stanford study says brain scan images can predict a child's learning potential. When it comes to math, MRIs may be better than IQs and even past math scores at showing whether a tutor can help a child master everything from trapezoids to trigonometry. A new study from the Stanford University School of Medicine says that the size and circuitry of certain parts of children's brains are excellent predictors of how well they'll respond to intensive math tutoring. The researchers' most surprising finding was that children's IQ and math scores had no effect on tutoring outcomes. Yet, brain scan images predicted how much a child would learn, said Vinod Menon, a Stanford professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences, who was the study's senior author. The study was published online in the journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences.
So, the beginning of our article, we're talking about a comparison of an MRI with an IQ. So we have so many words nowadays that we just have these letters for them. We have to say, what does it mean? What is an IQ anyway?
Well, IQ, the two letters I and Q stand for intelligence quotient, and this is just a way to measure how smart a person is.
And we're so used to using that word IQ now that sometimes people don't even think of what it means. You say, what's your IQ? What's your child's IQ? And we use so many of these kind of words like that that we don't even know what the real meaning is sometimes.
That's right. And everyone is familiar with what it means. As Campbell said, it's how smart you are. But you also have to remember that IQ is not everything.
Right.
Right. There's a lot of things involved, and MRIs tell us some things, and IQs tell us some things. They're all ways of measuring certain things, whether it's intelligence or health, and they're ways of us trying to find out where we stand. But, you know, the beginning of this starts out with a very good phrase, Ruth, when it comes to math. When it comes to is a very common expression in English.
Yes, it is. This means when you're talking about a subject, when it comes to talking to your boss, when it comes to learning another language, when it comes to making money, that just means when you're thinking about this particular topic, what other aspects are involved.
So it's kind of like the results are, right?
Right. Right. So here we're talking about math. When it comes to math, we are learning that there are certain things, here specifically MRIs, are better at predicting and showing whether a tutor can help a child master math better than these other things like IQ and even their past math scores.
So it's a way of comparing different things, isn't it?
Right.
That's right. And we later down in line 9, we read about the word predictor, which comes from, of course, the verb to predict, which means to guess how well something is going to be done.
That's true. Well, they want to show whether a tutor can help a child master everything. So I don't know why we're talking about tutors even. I mean, you go to school, what about teachers? So they're trying to say, if you want extra help to be better in something, you get an outside person to help, that's a tutor, right? So do you think most kids have tutors? Not really.
Well, I think it depends. A tutor can give extra intensive help in a certain subject. So if a parent thinks that their child is behind in a subject, then they can get a tutor.
Okay. But if you think that child can't do very well, then don't hire. Let's say you're not very musical, and I want to teach Campbell to sing, and he's not a very good singer, so I hire a tutor, and they might work with him, and he still might not be able to sing that well. We know that in music because we say that's a talent, right?
Right, right?
But we don't think about it in math. However, I think it's true in other subjects, like, for instance, in math. If you're not very good and you can hire a tutor, I might get by and pass my math, but I might not be as good as Campbell, right? So that's kind of a way we think about it.
Right. And I guess today's article is talking about, well, how can we predict? How can we know what someone is good at and how we can help them?
If your child is not doing very well in school, so let's hire a tutor. Well, maybe you shouldn't because that might not be that they're best in.
Right.
How do you know?
Well, you don't. And I think you just want to give them the best chance possible to succeed. But you have to balance that with the fact is if this is not their gift or their talent, they're never going to be DEming the first
whatever
in class.
Right. That's right. So can someone help a child? When you say master something, it means not just learn it, but become tops, be number one, be really good in it, to master it. And I don't think whether I have children or not, I don't know if they need to, you know, measure how to do Trapezoids. Do you know how to say that word even?
Trapezoid.
Okay. Well, see, I'm not going to master that word because I don't think I'll ever see it again, right?
Well, of course, because we're talking about math, these are two math terms. A trapezoid, as you can see in our specialized term, is just a figure with four sides of different lengths. So it's just a four-sided figure. And then trigonometry, which is a type of mathematics that deals with the relationship between angles and sides of triangles. So they're just two mathematical terms right. that kids might need to know.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's just a play with alliteration here with the TR and the TR.
And so. It makes it advanced to throw these big words in, right?
Exactly.
You know, after all, it is advanced, right? But don't worry too much if you don't know what those things are because you may not be that great at math either. Who knows?
Right.
You know. But they do have this new study, and Stanford University is always researching all kinds of things. They're well known for that. And their School of Medicine has a new study now.
Right. The new study is saying that the size and circuitry of certain parts of children's brains are excellent predictors of how well they'll respond to intensive math tutoring. So here we see size, so how big something is, and circuitry, how the connections in the brain are working.
When I think of circuitry, I think of things like motherboards and computers and, you know, circuitry kind of sounds like electronics to me.
Right.
Well, it does, and I think that's the origin of the idea. The circuit, how the electricity passes from one part of something to another.
Right.
And we use the same term in the brain as mm-hmm. to how the different parts of the brain can connect and communicate and work together.
Right. So our brain works like a motherboard, like a circuits, right? We have nerves that make connections. And as we learn, these connections pass information. And so it's like wiring.
We've had articles now and then about the brain because the brain is a very, very important part of our body. Mm-hmm. And so we've even talked about when people get older, their circuitry is not very good, so they can't remember. They can't get into the knowledge that they have there. Mm-hmm. And so the circuitry of the brain is something that's talked about quite often.
Yes, it is. And it's a very good way to describe what is happening in the brain with the different impulses going from one area to another.
Because we have the left side and the right side. Mm-hmm. And if there's no good circuitry, they can't connect with each other. It's pretty important, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. So this study is looking at different parts of the children's brains and how they connect. And that is the predictor of how they're going to respond or how they're going to react to this intensive math tutoring.
Well, I'm glad that my mother didn't read this lesson when I was little because she would have thought, well, I guess there's no hope for my daughter. I wasn't very good at math, you know. But we still had to learn what we had to learn, whether we were very good at it or not. We mm-hmm. all had to pass the math test. So whether you are excellent in it or you're going to be excel in it or not, you still have to learn these things, Ruth.
You do. And I think we need to be careful that there's a basic level where people need to be competent. They need to be able to do some basic things,
right.
but not necessarily go beyond that.
Right.
And maybe this tutoring is just to get people up to that basic level or mm-hmm. you know, trying to make them better. But in any case, it is intensive.
So these researchers then, in the next paragraph, they found out that children's IQ, if they had an IQ, and their math scores didn't make any difference even if they were tutored or not. Now, that's pretty interesting.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the IQ and the scores didn't affect the outcome of the tutoring. In other words, looking at those two things didn't tell you anything about how well the child was going to do with the tutoring or how much they're going to improve.
Right. So, I mean, again, with IQ, we're talking about how smart someone is. So you would think that the smarter they are, the better they would be able to learn and the more they would respond to this tutoring. But this test or this research is showing that that's not the case here.
Yeah. And these brain scan images, you know, they would predict how much a child would learn. And they said that this was a study that this psychiatric and behavioral sciences people wanted to study. I'm glad I didn't go into that field. It's very complicated. I like music a lot better.
So they're, like you said, Stanford is always studying all kinds of different things to find out new ideas or, you know, more about the way the human body works. So this Stanford professor, Vinod Menon, he teaches psychiatry and behavioral sciences about how people respond to each other. And he's interested to find out that these brain scans do show that which children will learn more than others.
And this study was published online in this journal, the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Now, they always publish all these medical things, and a lot of our people who are in the medical field read a lot of those. We don't usually read those books, do we?
You know, sometimes for fun.
For fun? not me.
No, but I don't read those books at all.
No, I think the only people who do read them are those who are really, really involved in their field of study, and they need to know, they need to keep current on what they're doing.
So if this seems like a little bit difficult subject to you, remember there's a lot of things we can learn from this without getting too involved in all the medical process.
Mm-hmm. And I was interested, Doris, in this title. It says the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. When you talk about proceedings, it just means what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like we can talk about the proceedings of the meeting, what you talked about in the meeting. And in this case, it's the things that the National Academy of Science is currently studying or looking at.
So, you know, they're always talking about education and brains and how we can use them and keep them well and things like that. So this is just another little piece of information, and you can tell your friends about, and they'll wonder where you ever found out about that. You tell them I found out in advance.
That's right.
So they're saying something about we can find out a little bit about our children. Mm-hmm. However, if you find out that your children aren't very good in that, it doesn't mean that they shouldn't try it.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what Campbell and I were talking about before the program is that, so this is a very interesting fact, but what does it mean to us as parents?
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see what we can find out as we go along, but let's read about the measuring, the test results, and see what they are finding out.
Measuring the test results. Menin's research team took MRI scans of 24 third graders just before they underwent 8 weeks of rigorous math tutoring. A control group of children also had their brains scanned, but they didn't get any tutoring. The kids who were tutored showed across-the-board gains in their arithmetic skills, with the levels of their improvement varying wildly from 8% improvement up to 198%. The children in the control group showed no signs of improvement. The researchers found that the kids who responded the best to tutoring tended to have a larger and more active hippocampus. But its role in mastering specific skills, like math, hadn't been explored until now. Even more than its size, the hippocampus's ability to get along with other parts of the brain was the biggest predictor of math success. The type of MRI used by Menin's team is called an fMRI, functional magnetic resonance imaging, which measures changes in the flow of oxygenated blood from one part of the brain to another.
And when they make these kind of experiments and things, they have people in control groups or people volunteer so they want to do research. So probably they say what standards they need, what kind of people should be in the group, don't they?
Right. So usually when they do a research, they have one group of people where they do the experiment upon, and then one group where they don't do anything to, and they compare the two. They see, okay, so what were the results of the people that we did the experiment on? What were the results of the people that didn't have anything done to them? And then they make the results from that.
Right. They have to have what's called the control group, the group that they don't do anything to, as a kind of a baseline to see what would happen if you did nothing. And that's how they can measure what kind of change or result happened as they did the experiment.
So evidently then they tutored both groups. There's the kids who were tutored.
Well, they tutored some of the – they did a scan on 24 third graders. Some of them got tutoring. Some of them didn't. Okay, so the group that didn't get tutoring, they're the control group.
Right. They're the people that they use as the baseline, as the standard. If you didn't do anything, this is what the kids would be like. Now, if we do this experiment, how much different is this group of kids that had the treatment than the control group?
Right.
So when they said here that the kids who were tutored showed across the board, that's a very good expression or good phrase, across the board. What does that actually mean?
Across the board means that everyone is affected. I often see this term when you're talking about business. You say that the company made across-the-board budget cuts. That means everything got cut.
Right. So across-the-board just means that, you know, all the students within this group of 24 third graders. Okay, I just need to correct something. Earlier I said 24 third graders. Some of them got tutoring. Some of them didn't. Actually, all these 24, the group 24 students got tutoring. There's another group that didn't get tutoring.
Okay,
so across-the-board, these 24 students that did get tutoring, they made improvements. So we see that tutoring did help. The thing is, some of these 24 students improved a lot. Some of them didn't. And then the students in the control group, without the tutoring, they didn't improve at all.
Yes. So what the study then looks at is, okay, the students got the tutoring, they all improved, but what was it in the brain that predicted how much of an improvement they would make?
So that's what we're talking about, the levels of their improvement. And that varied widely. I mean, it was very different because some had, let's say, 8% improvement. That's just a little bit. But some of them had 198%. How could you have 198%? 100% seems enough. Ruth, they're getting really pretty technical here.
That's true. Well, maybe the child was extremely low, and then all of a sudden they just really understood it and took off.
Right. So the study is exploring, okay, well, tutoring does help, but why did tutoring help certain students more than others?
So you could find out, well, if it's not going to help you very much, I'm not going to pay for a tutor for my child.
But then you have to pay $500 for the scan.
Yeah, that's true.
To find that out first.
To find it out. Yeah, that's true.
Well, still an 8% improvement is still a decent improvement.
Well, that's true, yeah. And everybody improves with tutoring, right.
And the other thing from this study is we do not know what other factors were involved. We don't know whether all these kids were at the same level when they started or they were at different levels.
Sure.
So there's other things involved than just the scan. But what they're focusing on is what could be a predictor of success.
Well, and they also, the researchers found out that the kids that really did the best, responded the best to this, they had in their brain, they had a larger and more active part of their brain, which is kind of a technical word, but we see this word quite a bit.
This word is hippocampus, which is just the name of this particular part
of
the brain.
Sounds like a school, hippocampus.
Yeah, well, I see the word hippo and I think, oh,
yeah,
that means water.
Pretty big. Yeah.
And actually, this word comes from Greek, and hippocampus refers to a mythical creature that has the four legs of a horse and the tail of a fish or a dolphin, and it's also the Greek word for seahorse. And that's what
it sounds like.
It
sounds like a hippopotamus to me.
Yeah.
They're pretty big animals. But that's just a part of your brain, you know.
Right. This part of the brain is actually involved with learning and memories and helping you to get better at different things.
Right. It plays a role in your short-term transferring to your long-term memory. It's a very important part of the brain.
Well, they have done a lot of experiments on that, but they haven't really done a lot of experiments on mastering specific skills like math. Mm-hmm. They haven't really explored that. How do you learn math? You could do another one on music. You could do another one on what else? Cooking,
science,
human relations,
or language.
Yeah, you could do it on anything, but this was on math, and math is a pretty important part of like business and a lot of different things. So they're interested in finding that out.
Right.
It would be interesting to now do another study of people receiving tutoring in a different subject and find out if this connection with the hippocampus again shows the same results.
Can you make somebody musical or not?
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Right. I do wonder if they chose math because it is very cut and dry. It is very just, you know.
It's easy to measure. Right,
right. Exactly.
Yeah, it's hard to measure other things.
Yes.
Right.
Because math has a right and a wrong answer.
Yes, exactly.
That's true. But even more than the size, though, this hippocampus's ability to get along with other parts of the brain, it says that was the biggest predictor of the math success. So you have to get along with the whole brain, right?
Mm-hmm. But what they're looking at is how the hippocampus interacts or communicates with the other parts of the brain. Mm-hmm. And I guess the more active communication or connection between the two showed a greater improvement than in the math skills.
So in the brain, we do have a lot of important parts, but remember, connectors are very important because if you can't connect to these parts, there's something there, but nobody can find out what it is. So you kind of have to get in there and It's like a radio. If you don't plug it in to the wall, sometimes you're mayo dan, you're bushy.
Right, you know? Exactly. Yeah, my daughter had some brain damage when she was born, so actually we've had to have some brain scans done for her. And it's really interesting how the brain works. Like when one part of the brain maybe has some damage, your brain will actually rewire itself and use other parts of the brain to make up for that damaged part.
It's really amazing, isn't it,
yeah,
how the brain can heal itself and just kind of make adjustments for something that's been blocked for
exactly.
some reason.
With a lot of parts of their body, when things don't work, they'll go around and use some other way to do it,
yes,
right? So this type of MRI that's used by this team, they call this an fMRI. So there's another one to remember.
Yes, and, you know, to me, an MRI is an MRI. I'm not sure all of the fine details, but when they're writing about a study, of course, they want to describe it and say exactly what they did, which is why we use this term here, the fMRI.
Right.
Functional.
So, yeah, so here we're talking about the functional magnetic resonance imaging, fMRA, and it measures the changes in the flow of oxygenated blood from one part of the brain to another. So,
now, oxygenated blood, isn't all blood oxygenated?
Well, there, as your blood flows through your body, some of it is oxygenated because it has just picked up oxygen from your lungs and it's going to send that oxygen to the different cells. Some of it is not because it's returning to the heart to get refilled.
I think Ruth could work in the medical profession.
She could be Dr. Ruth.
Good.
No,
yes,
thank you.
Well, it's a good start, but don't let this scare you because it's not all about the medical part. But we're just talking about tests and things they do to find out because they want to help the kids learn as much as they can, and they want to know how to help them. And so that's why they're doing these technical studies. And every now and then we have to have something a little technical in advance because, remember, it is advanced, right?
That's right. It's a challenge.
It's a challenge. And so we're going to come back tomorrow and find out a little bit more about this. So we hope that you'll be with us. And across the board, our lessons are not going to have all things like this, but every now and then we have to have some. And let's just see what else we can find out from this article that they're doing right now on the study in Stanford. Thanks for being with us today. Thanks for coming, Ruth and Campbell. And all of you out there, thank you for coming. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.